So, what's your question, sir?
Going back to you remembering what I hate.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it was 20 in class that I just came to play with. We read about how all nations be blessed in Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
What's the understanding of that? How do you bring that to me? Just prove that it's Israel the best.
Like what we read in chapter 13.
Right.
Where it says, all the families of the earth shall be blessed in him. Okay, let's go to it. Let's read it first.
This is a scripture that is quoted a lot by Pharaoh.
Yeah.
To prove that all nations can be given salvation.
Right. So in 13:3, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So the Most High didn't say this to Abraham once. He said it to him actually a few times. And the more the Most High said it, the further along you get in Genesis, right? The clearer the Most High makes the understanding. You see what I'm saying? But what happens is that when you're young in the truth or churchianity is in your mind, you can't see that the Most High is telling you of the far future that's coming. Because to Abraham at that time, he don't even have a nation yet. He don't even have a seed. So the Most High is telling him about things that is so far down the line. Okay? So going from here, let's go to chapter 17. And we're going to read from, let's start at verse 4. 17:4. And it says, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, my agreement is with you, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. So the person in churchianity, you know, they start, Father Abraham and many sons, you know. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you see, Abraham is the father of every nation. You know. And your Bible has a precept for the word nations there. What does it say for the precept?
Multitude of nations.
You see that? Multitude. Multitude. Because when you look up the word in Hebrew, it lets you know that Abraham is not going to be a father of every nation, but he's going to be a father of multitudes that will be coming out of nations. So like Israelites, right, that are scattered in all the different nations, multitudes are going to be coming out, Israelites from America, Russia, Europe, Africa, you know, wherever they are. Now, to prove it without having to go to no stupid precept or whatever, we just got to keep reading. It says in verse 5, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. Okay? For a father of many nations have I made thee. So a person in the world is like, you see? Even his name means that, you know. Before, when his name was Abram, right? The meaning of his name meant high father. Like exalted father. You know what I'm saying? Like you know, he's the father to be exalted. He's the father to be looked highly of. You see what I'm saying? So he had a name that was like kind of prophetic. Like, you know, that when we go back into our history, we're going to be like, you know, that's one of the great fathers of our people. That's what his name Abram actually meant. Okay? Whereas Abraham, okay, is father of multitudes. So he said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. All right. Let's see. Let's just keep reading. It said, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of thee. I will make nations of thee. I will make nations of thee. So that means these nations are going to come from his loins. Because then you know these nations are going to proceed from him. And kings shall come out of thee. Okay? So it's showing you from his loins. And I've established my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee. So those nations are from the seed of what? Abraham. In their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Now let's stop there, right? Did many nations come from Abraham? From his lineage, from his loins?
Israel came.
Not just Israel.
Because they had other sons as well.
So now, yeah, he had other sons. Let's go through this, right?
Israel.
Let's deal with only, because now this is cutting the doctrine of the churches in half,
right?
It's already cut in half because they have to be seed. They have to be seed. So that means right now who's cut out already? Who's cut out?
The Canaanites cut out.
Let's make it that way. We don't have to mention every Hamite. So Ham is out.
Ham's. No.
No Ham. No pork in my fork. And Japheth is out.
And Japheth, exactly.
Okay.
Even some.
Out of Shem, there's some that are cut out. Okay, so these are from Shem. I'm gonna put it like this. From Shem, right? The Assyrians, which were known as Ashur in Genesis 10. Okay. Who else is cut out? The Syrians. By the way, these are two different ones. And this is why it's good to learn, because you gotta learn their ancient name. These are known as Aram. So you got Ashur and Aram. That's why they have different names. Who else is cut out of Shem?
Let's say Elam.
So India or Hindus, which is Elam. Any more? How do our facts that we come from that lineage?
That's ours.
Lydians, etc., etc. Okay, so there's others, but these are the ones. So now, the seed of Abraham, right? Who did Abraham have that were his children?
Ishmael.
Who else?
And also Israel.
Let's deal with
Isaac,
which basically out of Isaac comes Israel, right? Okay, who also did he have?
Yeah, children with Keturah.
Right, so we'll call those Arabs, which Ishmael is also an Arab, right? Well, the reason we call them Arabs is because the word Arab in Hebrew, which the word Arab comes from, means mingled peoples. All the sons of Keturah, which were, you know, just to give a few names. Well, let's start with these. Kedar, the Midians. Kedar, the Midians.
There's a lot of them.
Jokshan. Etc. Now, this is, he's an Arab too, so don't get it confused. Ishmael's an Arab too, because they eventually mingle with each other. Okay, who else come out of the seed of Abraham?
Come on! Yeah, Ishmael, yeah, Isaac,
come on! Come on! It's really obvious. our big brother, Esau.
Esau.
Yeah.
Esau.
That goes with Isaac.
Yeah, but I didn't want to put him up there because for a reason.
Okay. But we're going to have to keep narrowing down. Esau, okay. So, Moab and Ammon is on this side of the list, by the way.
Oh, that's right. That's right there.
On the strength. Okay. So, let's put them over here. Moab. Ammon. So, right there, you already the understanding got cut.
Yep.
Already. Now, check this out. Let's keep reading. It says, verse 8, I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So this is talking about the kingdom. Let's jump down in the chapter. To verse 15. And Yahweh said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. So not only did he change the name of Abraham, he also changed the name of our foremother. She went from Sarai to Sarah, to Sarah. Okay? Now they sound almost similar and even look similar, right? But the meanings are two completely different meanings. Sarai has the meaning of contentious. You know, like, you know, problematic, you know what I'm saying? But it has other meanings besides that. But that's the one I like to pick, right? It said, but Sarah or Sarah means princess. Princess shall be her name, shall her name be. So the Most High changed her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. So showing you the seed that the Most High is going to bless and give this promise to is going to come from who? From Sarah. Says, yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Let's stop there. She shall be a mother of nations. So right here, it eliminated Ishmael already. Boom. It eliminated the Arabs. Boom. Boom. She only had Isaac. Out of Isaac was gonna come what? Nations, that's what the Most High did. The nations come? Yeah, literally, you had two. But we know it's not talking about Israel and Esau. Because what we know about Esau, what's going to happen to Esau?
Destroyed.
Right. The book of Obadiah. Yeah. So we know that's the wrong understanding. Okay, but there's even an easier way. Before you get to Obadiah. Okay. So they call her Sarah, right? Mother of nations. And it's not spiritually that she's a mother of nations, because it told her, I'm going to give you a son. And through that son, it's supposed to be that you're going to become what? A mother of nations. What was the Most High trying to tell Abraham and Sarah? That this agreement is so good. That when your children become like the stars of heaven and they forget who they are, because they're going to be scattered in the nations, right? If they come back and remember that you are their father and that she is their mother, and come back to the commandments and the hope, all the scriptures we read in Psalm 78 and everything, right? Then they will be what? Blessed. Blessed shall be all the families, all the kindreds of the earth. Okay? But let's continue reading. It's going to explain it. So it says, she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Showing you this coming from her what? Her womb. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, unto Yahweh, all that Ishmael might live before thee. Stop right there. What did he understand? Yeah, from his statement right there. All that Ishmael might live before thee. See, if it was supposed to mean all anyone is blessed that comes out of Abraham, then why is he making that statement to the Most High? Like, man, I wish that Ishmael could be accepted by you, Most High. To live before the meaning that Ishmael could get the kingdom. See what I'm saying? He knew that Ishmael is not accepted because the Most High already explained what? It's through the lineage that's going to come through Sarah. So everybody else is what? Completely eliminated. As we read on, it says, oh, Yahweh, and Yahweh said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name what? Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed. With the seed of who? Of Isaac after him. So Ishmael, the Moses said, no, it's not Ishmael. It's Isaac who's going to have it. And Isaac's name means what? Laughter, because Abraham laughed. It says, and as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and make him a fruitful, and I will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time the next year. So right there is proving us what? It's in Isaac's lineage. So everybody's out. Everybody. Now only two we got to look at is what? Isaac and out of Isaac's lineage, Esau and Jacob. Okay? Now let's go to, to cut it shorter, the class, right? Let's go to Genesis 35. Genesis chapter 35. And we're going to start at verse 10. Genesis 35 and verse 10. It says, and Yahweh said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. Now we know that who we're talking about. Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And Yahweh said unto him, Yahweh said to Jacob, right? I am God Almighty. I'm Yahweh Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations. Company of nations? Hold on, what the hell is that talking about? Who's the nations then? A nation and company of nations shall be of thee. What does that mean, of thee? From your loins. So the nations that the Most High said he was going to bless and Sarah was going to be a mother of are coming from who? Ain't coming from Esau. They're only coming from who?
From Jacob.
So, the Most High was revealing the hidden mystery, because that's what Paul calls it. Because even our forefathers didn't understand it until Yahweh Shai came. Okay? The Most High was revealing that the Israelites were going to be lost in a Gentile state of mind, scattered in many nations because of slavery, and that they're going to have to come out of it and come back to their true heritage. Because this is talking to Jacob. You said, out of thee, out of your lineage. One nation came out of Jacob, not two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. One nation. The nation of Israel, right? Mm-hmm. 12 tribes, but one nation. And it says here, and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it. That, remember that promise? That they shall possess covenant for that covenant land, you know, the promised land forever. Right there, the Moses telling you, who is he giving it to? He said, I give it to Abraham, I give it to Isaac, now I'm giving it to you. It said, and to thy seed after thee will I give this land. So now we know the nations is not spiritual. Oh, any spiritual nation that calls himself Israel. No, you have to be from the lineage. So right there, in Genesis, it got cut to shreds. And there's more scriptures, of course. But this is a nice and quick and easy way. Now, how about in the so-called New Testament? Right? Let's do it in the New Testament. Most people like to go to the book of Galatians in the churchianity to actually try to profess themselves to be, you know, Abraham's children, right? So we're going to Galatians chapter 3 to the scripture that they like to go to. Galatians 3, and let's read from verse 8. Galatians 3 and verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing, the word foreseeing means that it was telling us the future. What scripture? The scripture in Genesis. Foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel, meaning the promise of Christ and the kingdom, unto Abraham, saying, and these shall all nations be blessed. That we read where? Genesis 13 and 3. Right? What, when the person in the world reads this, they go, you see, all nations, you say heathen, heathen, all nations, that's it, brother. That's all you got to read. You ain't got to tell me nothing more. And if you basically, you know, don't know the scripts, you'll be like, damn, got cut. All you got to do is jump down to verse 14. And the reason I like starting at 14 is because you want to give the person that you know, that feels that they cut you, you want to give them hope that their doctrine is correct. You want them to go like, you see? And then you go, yeah. So when you read this, it says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. You see? See, you Israelites, man, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Right? I go, yeah, you're right. It says, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. So now, let's talk as men, right? That means that when men make a covenant, men, the word covenant means agreement, right? When two men make an agreement, if it be confirmed, it says here in verse 15, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. So if I make an agreement with you, after it's confirmed, after it's signed and sealed, can I add to the agreement? Can I take away from the agreement? We read the covenant in Genesis 17. It told us straight up. So now, that's what he's setting it up perfectly for us, Paul. You know what I'm saying? Because he's telling you cannot add. You cannot what? Take away. He said, now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So when the Most High was talking about seed all that time, it started off with Isaac, started off with Jacob, but if eventually the blessing of the seed was who? It was really talking about Yahweh Shai, that through Abraham we're going to get Christ. And because of Abraham's faith, if we come back to the same belief that Abraham had, which is the believing in Christ, we will be blessed. It's not talking about to many nations. Because that was not the agreement. We just read the agreement. And Isaac shall that seed be called, he said. Not everybody. You understand that? Okay. So right here is cutting it. Right here is cutting it. Now check this out. You think it stops there? Verse 17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law. Who was the law given to? The law. This confirmed the covenant. The law, which was 430 years after the Most High made the promise to what? To Abraham, 430 years after we served in what? In Egypt. Okay? Cannot disannul. It cannot take away that agreement, that it should make the promise of none effect. So in other words, what it's telling us is what? That the reason the Most High made that agreement with us is because even before the laws was given to us by Moses, the Most High was trying to ensure that the children of Abraham, if they ended up lost, ended up with, you know, forgetting who they are, ended up living among the other nations, speaking the languages of the other nations, whatever, he was trying to ensure them that they could come back. That's why it says justifying the heathen, like we read in the verse 8, because that's what we ended up becoming, like heathen. The word justifying means through a sacrifice, you're being what? Forgiven. Who's that sacrifice? Yahweh Shai. So by us believing that he died for our sins, that allows us to receive that promise that the Most High made to Abraham and all the way back then. Ain't that hot? Okay, so right in Galatians where they try to go to, they get cut. Because you right there tell them, it says seed, not seeds, as of many. You could go right back to Genesis now and show them that seed is what? Isaac and Jacob. Nobody else. Okay? Matter of fact, we're reading it today. If you go to Psalm 105, Psalm 105, and verse 6, and let's read to 10. Psalm 105, verse 6 through 10. Got it? So it says in, Psalms 105, verse 6, it says, O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. Who's the seed? So you could go from Galatians 3 and 15, where it says, to his seeds as of one. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. Right there proves who the seed is. Who are the families of the earth that shall be blessed? Who are the nations of the earth that shall be blessed? Say, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are all in the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever. So that agreement he made with Abraham wasn't like, oh, Christ came and it got removed out of the way. No. It's forever. Said, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Because the Most High was trying to make sure that the children of Abraham get the kingdom, regardless what happens to them. Okay? That's why it says to 1,000 generations. Which covenant he made with Abraham, his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for what? A law. That's why Galatians 3 said what it said. After 430 years, right? Cannot disannul the promise. It says, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. See that? Right there, it cuts it. It cuts it completely. This is one of the best ones, actually, in the so-called New Testament to prove that what it means that when the Most High said, in thee all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So we're going to Romans 9 and start at verse 7.
Romans chapter 9, verse 7. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children.
Right. So even if you were of the lineage of Abraham, that does not mean, that does not make you a child of Abraham, even if you're from his actual lineage. Neither, because they are seed of Abraham, even though you came from his loins, that does not make you a child of Abraham. They are not all children. Go ahead, continue.
What? In Isaac shall thy seed be called.
But in what?
In Isaac shall thy seed be called.
So that means Ishmael, who is closer, right, than Ham, Japheth, Moab, Elam, and all the other nations, is excluded. Then what about the other ones then? If you're not, if you from the actual lineage is, are not getting the kingdom, because you're not of Isaac, then it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Continue reading.
That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God.
Right. So like, for example, Ishmael, he was a child of Abraham, literally, came from his loins, but he was of the flesh. It was it, he was of his seed, but not of his spirit. You know what I'm saying? So it says, are not the children of the Most High. Continue.
But the children of the promise are counted for the seed.
Right, the children of the promise, like Isaac was of the promise, like Jacob was of the promise. They are the seed that the Most High was talking about that's going to get the kingdom, that's going to be blessed in all nations. All right, read on.
For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son.
Right there, cuts it. Just like exactly how we went through it in Genesis 17. Okay, it's repeating the same exact thing. So somebody says, well, hold on, but there were nations in Sarah. Because Isaac didn't have just one child, he had two. So then you got to just keep reading. Let's keep reading and find out what happens.
And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one,
which is
by our father Isaac,
uh-huh,
for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil.
Yeah, because a lot of people immediately go, you know, it's because Esau was evil, right? Because he was wicked. It said they have not yet done any good or evil. That means that before they were even born, okay, the Most already made this choice. Go ahead, continue.
That the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that called.
Right, because what happens is a lot of times people think that it's because Esau did something evil that got him excluded. But it said it's by election, meaning the Most High does the what? The choosing. Go ahead.
It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger.
Who's the elder? Right, Esau is older, and Jacob's younger. Go ahead.
As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
Right there, it's just what? It just completely eliminated what? Esau. So it's letting us know straight up that what? It's only Jacob. Go from there to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. This will be our last verse. Acts 3, and let's start at verse 19.
Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things.
Right, so what this is teaching us is what? First and foremost, to come back to the Most High. Repent, Be converted doesn't mean we convert into a religion, but converting back to what? To the laws. It says that your sins may be blotted out. So the Messiah didn't come to blot out the laws, he came to blot out our sins. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of our Lord. So what that means is, if your sins are taken away from you, what naturally is going to come in this time period while you're here in the classes and in the kingdom is that you're going to be what? Refreshed. Your spirit, your soul is going to be revived. That's what I mean by refreshed from the presence of the Lord. Because then Christ doesn't have to come back for us to be refreshed. Us studying the scriptures and repenting refreshes our spirit. Read on. Whom the heavens must receive unto the times of restitution. That goes into Daniel, what we read today. How Christ got to sit at the right hand of the Most High until the time when it's time to what? Restore everything back to him. Give him the kingdom, the dominion, the power. Right? That's what I mean by restitution, to restore things. Until the time of restoration, okay, of all things. Which, read on.
Which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began.
Right, so that's why we could go to Genesis and read that the Most High made Abraham into a prophet, teaching him about the gospel of Christ. So when he was being told, in thy seed shall all the nations be blessed. The seed, meaning out of your sperm was going to come Christ, that's going to cause all Israel to be blessed if they what? If they believe in him, if they repent, if they, come back to the faith that you have. You know what I'm saying? So all the prophets have been talking about Christ. Like, we could read Genesis and read, the Arabs are going to be terrorists. Makes sense. You know what I'm saying? They're wild, you say Israel's a wild man. His hand shall be upon everyone, everyone's hand shall be upon him. Go ahead, read on.
It says, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you.
Right, we know that's talking about Christ in Deuteronomy 18. Go ahead.
And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets.
Stop. Ye are the children of what?
Prophets.
Who are the children of the prophets? Israel. Because all this is talking about Israel. Right? Every single bit of it. Moses said this to our forefathers. All the prophets spoke this to us. And said, now you are the children of all those prophets. Okay? Go ahead.
And of the covenant which God made with our fathers.
And the Most High made agreement with Moses. He made agreement with David. He made many, many agreements with our people. Go ahead.
Saying unto Abraham.
So we are the children of that covenant that he said unto who? Said unto Abraham. Read on.
And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed.
Ah, so who's this talking about? It's talking about Israel only.
The other nations are not children.
Right. Right. And on top of that, it notice that the word changed from nations to kindreds. To show you that is what? That is related. We are all related. Okay. So when it says in thy seed, that seed is in the sperm of Abraham. Christ is going to come. That's going to be a blessing to all the families or all the Israelites that are scattered in all nations. Read on, because then he explains it actually. Verse 26.
Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you.
Sent him to bless you. Go ahead.
and turning away every one of you from his iniquity.
Right there it shows you. Clear cut. Right in the so-called New Testament. Somebody in the church is like to always, yeah, you know, all nations could be saved because as long as you have the faith of Abraham and believe in Jesus Christ, you know, you are a child of Abraham. No, you're not. Because it said seed. I mean sperm. That's why even in the Immaculate Conception, it's wicked because it's trying to eliminate the promise of Abraham. Because Christ has supposed to come from the loins. That's why Hebrew says it like that. You know, he didn't come from the will of angels, but came from the loins of Abraham. You know what I'm saying? Because in order for the Most High to fulfill his covenant, that had to be done that exact way. But you know how Jake is. You know, they'll read what they want. That was a nice class. So with that, giving all praise and honor to the Most High in Christ.